don't know, I looked this up. You know, it says about where Father's Day came from, and a man can be a father, any man can be a father, but it takes a special person to be called dad. And I'll tell you where the Happy Father's Day or Father's Day came from. The idea for creating a day for children to honor their fathers began in Spokane, Washington. A woman by the name of Sonora Smart Dodd thought of the idea for Father's Day while listening to a Mother's Day sermon in 1909. Having been raised by her father, William Jackson Smart, after her mother died, Sonora wanted her father to know how special he was to her. It was her father that made all the parental sacrifices and was, in the eyes of his daughter, a courageous, selfless, and loving man. Sonora's father was born in June, so she chose to hold the first Father's Day celebration in Spokane, Washington, on the 19th of June in 1910. In 1926, a National Father's Day Committee was formed in New York City. Father's Day was recognized by a joint resolution of Congress in 1956. And then in 1972, President Richard Nixon established a permanent national observance of Father's Day to be held on the third Sunday of June. So Father's Day was born in memory and gratitude by a daughter who thought that her father and all good fathers should be honored with a special day, just like we honor our mothers on Mother's Day. I thought that was pretty good. So look at somebody there next to you if it's a father and say, Happy Father's Day. I want to say Happy Father's Day to everybody out there. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 John chapter 4 and Ephesians chapter 3. 1 John chapter 4 and Ephesians chapter 3. This is not going to be a long message today, but it's very important. And if you know me, I don't preach and teach long. I like to hit you with the truth and let you go home and study it out for your own. And on the back of your bulletin there, you can take notes. That's what that blank page is for taking notes. And we're going to talk about, the title of the message is Developing Faith in the Father's Love. Developing Faith in the Father's Love. And we started this series last Sunday. We started talking about Live Like You're Loved. And that's a song by Hawk Nelson, if you want to look that up. It's a great, great worship song, Live Like You're Loved. And we played that last Sunday. Last Sunday, we kind of started in this series, and I don't know how long that I'm going to be on it, but I do know this, that we all can say with mental assent, yeah, I know God loves me. We know that, but have you really experienced it in here, in your heart? We can all say it with our mind and give voice to it, but have you really experienced it? And that's what I feel like the Lord has led me in on teaching and preaching about this. Is God wants us to know it, wants us to really know it. And when you have that revelation and you really know it, it's going to affect every area of your life for the better. And you'll be more confident, you know, self-esteem issues, self-image. There's all kinds of things that when you start understanding how much God loves you, everything else just begins to line up. And then you begin to, you know, and there's this kind of a new age teaching that's really not new age. It's really the word of God. Whenever you get this vertical beam right, the horizontal beam will start working, which is your relationship with other people. And you'll start drawing people to you with the right kind of love. And everybody said amen. Amen. And so that's what we've been looking at. And last, I'm just going to kind of recap what we looked at last Sunday. For those of you that weren't here, but we talked about the six signs that you're not really trusting in the love of God, and I'm going to have to go through these really quick because we're going to get into today's message, but these are the six signs that you're not really trusting in the love of God for you, and the first one that we looked at was you blame God during challenges. You know, something happens to you that you didn't sign up for, and you begin to blame God for that, and really we looked at what that is being double-minded. Meaning you don't understand the love of God for you. Because if you really understood his love for you, you'd realize that Jesus is with you at all times. And then number two, the storm that you're in, whatever storm you're facing, is no problem for him to handle. Amen. Nothing's too hard for God. Yes. And I know I've been teaching myself this as I've been studying this. This has been resonating with me because I've been through some things here lately where I had to realize I'm walking in fear. I'm not walking in faith, and I'm not walking in love. I'm walking in fear because I'm not really trusting God. And God's saying, Mark, I'm taking you to a new level of loving me. Because when you really love me, you're not going to fear. Because my perfect love casts out fear. And so then we looked at the second sign that you're not really trusting the love of God is you blame your lack of faith on your humanity. And we talked about, well, I'm only human. You know, God knows I'm a sinner, saved by grace. And, you know, we just kind of, we down ourselves. And God's like, no, you're valuable. I sent my son to die in your place. Yeah, you once was a sinner, but now you've been saved by grace. Guess what? You're a saint now. Yes. I'm Saint Mark. And there's Saint Clark back there on the, and you are more than only human. And we found out in the Word of God, and some of you are like, I could tell by the pushback on that. Some of you in here don't believe that. If you're saved, you're more than just human. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10 that you are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us a long time ago. This means that when you got saved, you became God's masterpiece. Yes. You're God's masterpiece. Okay, the third sign that you're not really trusting in the love of God was you allow fear into your life. And if you allow fear into your life, then here's the deal, guys, and I know this is because I was there. I've been there. Done that, got the t-shirt and the cap. I had to really come to grips, was like, Mark, I'm living in fear. And I got to stop that. I know this. I'm a pastor. And forget being a pastor. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. I know better than to live in fear. But I found out I was living in fear. And this is truth. And it's pretty stout, but here it is. If you allow fear into your life, then you are denying God's love for you. I was like, well, I don't want to be in denial. No. You know, I don't want to live in denial. But if you allow fear into your life, then you're denying God's love for you. So stop it. Look at somebody and say, stop it. Stop it. 1 John 4:18 is an awesome scripture about this. And I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. It says, such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear or casts out all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. And I said this last week, if Jesus himself was to walk through those doors and you're not running to him to worship him and fall at his feet and give him a big hug and a kiss, but if you're looking for the exit signs to walk out, to get out of here because you're in God's presence, then you have not been perfected in God's love. God wants you running to his throne, not running away from him. I spent too many years running from God because I thought he was mad at me. And I had a wrong concept of God. I thought God was the big guy up on top of the world with his magnifying glass going, oh, there's Mark Haney. Yeah. Oh, he's screwing up today. Yeah. Let's let some sun come in and fry him, you know, or I'm gonna cause bad things to happen to him to give him a good old spanking. Yeah. That is not God. That is not the Father God. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That's a lie. God is love. And 1 John tells us that. In fact, I'm going to tell you this again here in a little bit, but you can write this in your notes. You need to go study 1 John. There's 5 chapters in it. Study it. Read it. And reread it until you get it. God loves us. And then the fourth sign is that you're not really trusting in the love of God is you deny your right. And we talked about how that Jesus is righteous, but Jesus' righteousness made you righteous. And so you cannot deny that. It's not you, it's his righteousness. So do not deny your right. He died in your place, and he said, I give you everything. I give you my authority. I give you everything to walk in. I give you my righteousness. My blood is what makes you righteous. Then the fifth sign was that you're not trusting in the love of God. You embrace hate and unforgiveness. And I can tell you right now, and we're going to look more into this in just a second, if you embrace hate and unforgiveness, and I mean you live in it, and I'm not saying that we haven't, some of us in here have experienced hate and unforgiveness, and you know, and then you repent of it, and you say, I got to stay in my love walk. It's not saying that, you know, there's some people that you may, there's some, and I'm seeing people in here, I'm thinking of people in here that are having some struggles with some family members and things like that. How many of you ever, no, you don't have to raise your hands. It's Father's Day. We can't go there today. But what I'm saying is, you know, because some people think, well, Well, if I have to walk in love, that means I got to be best friends with them and I've got to go to their house and I got to, no. It's keeping your heart right and not walking in hate or unforgiveness to them. I forgive them, but, you know, they got a lot of work. You know, God's got a lot of work to do on that one, you know. And it's not God has a lot of work, it's they do. And everybody's got their own walk with God. And am I making sense? Because some people get this idea that, well, if I have to walk in love and walk in forgiveness, then that just means I'm a doormat and I just got to let people walk all over me. No, it's not. Jesus didn't do that. In fact, Jesus, most of his things that he had to walk in love and forgiveness towards were the religious people. And he would always put them in their place with the truth, because the truth is what sets people free, but some people just don't want to hear it. But you got to keep speaking truth to them in love. But if you embrace hate, and when I'm talking about embracing it, that you're going to live in hate and unforgiveness, the Bible tells us that we are blind and we've actually unleashed hell upon our lives when we walk in that. You're not doing that person any good that you're hating on or walking unforgiveness towards. You're doing it to yourself. And then the last sign, the sixth sign that you're not really trusting in the love of God, is you give in to reckless words. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in a little bit. But reckless words lead to double-mindedness, lead to fear, lead to unforgiveness, and turning against God. You've got to watch what comes out of your mouth, guys, because a lot of people walk around saying, yeah, God loves me, but maybe he wants me to be sick. No, God don't want you to be sick. God loves me, but maybe he wants me poor. No, God wants you blessed so you can be a blessing. God loves me, but maybe he's mad at me because I haven't done this and this and this. No, God loves you. So your mind must be renewed and retrained. God is love and he loves me. Everybody say that. God is love and he loves me. And that's a revelation that everybody needs to get in here. We're going to look at 1 John chapter 4. So that was a recap of last Sunday. But 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. And I've put them up here on the board. And I'm looking in the New Living Translation, just because that's a paraphrased version that really speaks like we do, because I want you to get this. It says, Dear friends, verse 7 says, Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. He just doesn't love. He is love. He is it. God showed how much he loved us by sending his son, his one and only son, into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Then in verse 11, it says, Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God, and this, I was asking God, I was like, God, how long are we going to be on this? And he said, until my love is brought to full expression in you. Yeah. That may be. I hope it's not a while. I'm wanting to get this. Verse 13 says, And God has given us his spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. Then in verse 16, it says, We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Man, we could just close the book and go home right there. Just say amen to the reading of God's word and go home. But I've got one more, you know me, I've got several more scriptures that we're going to look at. But in Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 19, this is 1 John 4, 7 through 16 is kind of the text that we're using for this whole series. But in Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 19, this is the Apostle Paul talking. And he says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Verse 17 is what we're going to look at. It says, Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him or as you put your faith in him. So we're going to be developing our faith in the Father's love. And then it says, Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. And I want you to notice it says, and may you have the power to understand. God wants us to understand this, guys. And it says, as all of God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. And then in verse 19, it says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, I'm going to look back at verse 17. I'm going to read that again. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots, everybody say roots, will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Yes. During whatever comes your way, keep you strong. And here lately, I've been feeling weak. Anybody else in here? Been feeling weak. And I had to realize my roots haven't been down very deep. And they need to go deeper. And I feel like that God's calling, I know he's calling me, and I think he's calling this church. Dusty and I talked about this morning for our roots to grow deeper. Yes. So that we can withstand the fruit that is to come. But we got to have strong roots or to withstand the storm that's going to come. We've got to have our roots deep. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. The Lord has been showing me through studying this in my own life. Even though I thought my roots were pretty deep, they're not. And even in this world, the body of Christ is not very, the roots are not very deep. It's pretty shallow. And in fact, Jesus, and I'm basically preaching what Dusty and I talked about this morning before church and when we prayed for this service this morning, is Jesus himself said, in the last days, the love of many is going to wax cold. When he says many, that also means the body of Christ, because our roots are not very deep, and they've got to go deeper, guys. So is everybody ready to go deeper with your roots into the love of God? And here, I want you to write this down, and you can tweet this too and post it on Facebook. The root, here's the deal, the root always leads to the fruit. We're in a farming community, we all know that. But I think we need to be reminded that the root always leads to the fruit. The root of the apple tree leads to the apple. But it's got to start in the roots. That's where it starts from, in the fruit. And so in the spiritual realm, in Galatians 5:22, we're not going to turn there, but that's where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, the very first one that's mentioned is what? Love. The fruit of the Spirit, the first thing that's mentioned is love. So the root always leads to the fruit, love. Verse 17, again, in the King James Version, it says, the Apostle Paul is telling the Ephesians church, he's telling us, he goes, I want you guys to be rooted and grounded in God's love so that you will produce the fruit of love. I don't want my love to wax cold in these last days. I want to be full of love and grace and mercy. I want to be full of it. Look at somebody and say, you need to be full of it. You need to be full of that. That's what you need to be full of, is love, love. And this is what God told me. I'm telling you guys, and I believe in signs and wonders and miracles. We're going to see all that. But the Bible talks about it's all got to be expressed in love or it's worth nothing. The enemy, Satan himself, the Antichrist, is going to show up with signs, wonders, and miracles, but there's no fruit of love. His root is hate. And so we got to have our roots deep so that we're not deceived in these last days. And we've got to be rooted and grounded in God's love. I'm going to show you this in Mark chapter 4, verses 16 through 17. This is where Jesus is teaching about the parable of the soils. And this is what Jesus said. He said, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. You know, they're hooping and hollering and dancing and shouting and, yeah. Got the word of God. We've got the word of God. Verse 17 says, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. And I've been a pastor for 20-some years now, and I can tell you I have seen this a lot. People come to church, they get saved, they get on fire for God, they're jumping and shouting, hooping and hollering, and get filled with the Holy Spirit. and then a little bit later they're gone because they never had deep roots. And part of that is, yes, the church needs to do a better job of teaching the Word of God and helping people and get firmly planted and all those kind of things. But it also is that person too. They've got to get their roots deep. They got to stay hooked up. You got to stay hooked up even on the days you don't feel like hooking up. You got to stay hooked up.
Amen.
Yes, I mean, every day you've got to get the Word in you. You've got to experience God's love for you. I'm going to just share a few things that I wrote down. And I know I'm making humor about this, but I know there's been some people in here that's been diagnosed with diseases and things like that, and you've been to the doctor. There's several of you in here, and but I want to say some of these things because I think this will help us out in renewing our minds. And sometimes you just got to laugh at life, right, and laugh at yourself and the things that you've believed that weren't from God. I have believed some things that weren't from God, and I had to repent of them, saying, God, that ain't you, that ain't love. Here's an example, okay? So I don't want anybody in here to get offended. Well, yeah, I do. I guess I do want you to get offended. So the truth will hit your heart, and you'll get set free because Jesus went around offending everybody. Here's one for you. The doctor says that you have floppygitis. I just made something up. That's a new disease right there, floppygitis. Don't ask me what it is. And you go home, and you believe that hook, line, and sinker. You have more love for your doctor than you do for the Word of God. I know this is strong. I know this is strong. But that's the way a lot of people are. A lot of people go to the doctor and they think the doctor is preaching the gospel. Thank God for doctor. Now hear me, guys. I believe in going to the doctor. We're not that kind of church. I believe in going to the doctor. I believe going to hospitals. I believe getting yourself checked out every year. I believe in taking medicine. I do take medicine every day for something that I deal with in my body. So hear me. But when we go and we believe them over the great physician, then we're denying the love of God. Bottom line, that's what it comes down to, bottom line. And we're living in fear. And it's just a manifestation of fear. And I'm going to give you an example. This week I talked to a person, it's actually been a couple weeks ago, I talked to a person and they said that they went to the doctor and they said, man, he goes, I went to the doctor and my doctor told me, you better go home, get your house in order because you got 6 months to live. And he said, you know, just fear came over me, and as naturally it would, fear came over me, and I was just like, oh my gosh. And he said, they got a hold of the love of God, and they realized, you know what? Thank God for the doctor. Thank God I am going to go home and listen to my doctor. I am going to get my house in order, you know, financially, you know, all those kind of things. Get all that stuff in order. I choose not to live in fear. I'm not going to let my mind go there. I thank God for the doctor. I'm going to do what he's telling me to do as far as health, taking the medicine I need to take and all this. But bottom line, he does not know my time limit. God holds that. And so that 6 months turned into 3 years, and they're still alive. So that's what I'm telling you about this being rooted and grounded in God's love. Because the enemy wants to come along with fear, yes, temptation, lies, thoughts, and knock you off of that. And let you. And it's a lie saying, all those things are lies basically saying, God don't love you.
Yes.
God don't love you. God, and God loves you. This is what you got to get good at saying. Now I've learned this, and I'm still learning this. Yeah, but God loves me. Yeah, but God loves me. Yeah, I may have that, but God loves me.
Yes.
And God's going to take care of me through all this. Guys, I could go on and on and on. There's so much stuff that's rooted in when we're not walking in love. Offenses. Oh my gosh, don't get me started on that. You know, when people walk around and they're walking and just little bitty petty offenses get them off the love of God. And I was there, guys. I used to walk around and get offended at everybody. Oh, they didn't look at me. They didn't shake my hand. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. They didn't. And God was like, my gosh, you might as well just stay home.
Yeah.
And don't even get around people, because people are going to offend you right and left when you walk around like that. So God was started telling me, you're going to have to learn how to walk in the love of God, or, you know, this life is going to be very miserable for you. And I finally just had to say, okay, you know, I choose to walk in love. I choose to walk in love. Here's another one that came up that I thought about. You get overlooked for a promotion at work or your career or whatever. This has happened in my life. You get overlooked, or it was actually for somebody else, even though you were doing all the work. Ever been there, done that? And this person got the promotion, and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. And I wanted to walk in unforgiveness and all this, but then this happened a long time ago, 20-some years ago, and even during that time, God told me, he said, but Mark, I've got something better for you. Yeah, but God loves me. Yeah, that promotion, they got it. Bless them, and go on. But God's got something better for me. Even as a pastor, this used to bother me, because I would go in circles, and I found out that in pastoral circles, even pastors don't walk in the love of God. Hello, you know. And we're supposed to be preaching and teaching this stuff and living it and walking by example. And I got in pastor circles, and I found out nobody would talk to me when they found out that my church was 50 to 100 people. But by gosh, the guy over there that's got a pastor in a church of 500, everybody's talking to him. And I'm over here all alone going, I pastor 50 in Western Oklahoma. And I'm proud of, and I used to, and here's the deal, guys, that used to bother me a long time ago, because, and then I came back saying, we're going to be a church of 500. And everybody's going, Mark, town's 4. You know? Yeah, and I was like, yeah, but we got 6 counties around here. You know, we got 6 counties. I'm going to be Joel Osteen out here in the middle of Western Oklahoma. You know, we're going to build the compact center out, you know, and fill her up. We're going to have 1 million people coming, you know. And God began to show me in the Word of God. He said, Mark, be happy where you're at.
Amen.
Be happy where you're at. Yeah, all those other pastors went and talked to the guy that was 500. But you know what, Mark, I love you. Yeah. And I called you to Leedy. Yeah. And I want you to pastor there. And that's when I finally just said, you know what, God, you bet. I pastor in Leedy, Oklahoma. Yeah. And I have learned in 25-some years of ministry now that I'd rather have a church of 50 than church of 500. Because when you have a church of 500, you got more problems because there's more people. I didn't know that in the beginning. I do now. I'm like, thank you, Jesus, that you called me to Western Oklahoma. And that I live out here in no man's land, and I'm pastoring, and I love it. And I can go hunting and fishing, and some of you let me go hunting and fishing on your property. And I just love it. And I don't have to pay hunting. I can go, God, you're good. God is good. I love it. But guys, and you know, so here's what I'm saying. Sometimes we get caught up in those things, and you don't realize how good God is being to you and how much the love of God has been shown to you right where you're at. Because you're always striving to that, well, if I had that or this or this or that, because I really thought, and here's how naive I was, guys. I really thought because that guy had a church of 500 people and it was growing that God loved him more than me. And I had a church of 50 that was declining instead of growing. And I thought God loved him more than me. And God said, no, Mark, I love you just the same. I just didn't call you to be a pastor of a church of 500, and you need to be fine with that. And now I've learned I'm fine with that. I love it. I love where I'm at. So you just got to get good at saying, yeah, but God loves me. So look at somebody and say, yeah, but God loves me. All right, I'm going to tell you 4 things very quickly here that you can write down. And I'm just going to give you 4 things how to develop faith in the Father's love. And this is how you develop faith in anything. If you need healing, this is how you develop faith in healing, in God's healing for you. Anything in the Word of God. If you need, if you're trying to believe for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is how you develop faith in that. Number one is you've got to see it in the Word of God, and you've got to put the Word of God first place in your life. Put the Word of God first place in your life. So I began to see it in the Word of God that God is love and that God loves me. So I've got to start putting that first place in my life. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And I just encourage you again to go read First John, the first book of John. Read it over and over and over. The apostle that had the revelation of God's love was John. John had it. I'm not saying that the others didn't have it, yeah, but John really had it. John, he was the one that sat with Jesus at the Last Supper, and the Bible says he had his head on Jesus' chest. This guy, he had this love relationship with the Lord, and it was strong. In fact, it was so strong that he was the only disciple that was there at the cross. All the rest of them had left, except for some ladies and John. John was there. John was the apostle that outlived them all. He wasn't a martyr. He went to the he wrote the book of Revelation, you know, on the Isle of Patmos. I mean, I'm just telling you, John, he was the Bible talks about he was the apostle of love. The apostle of love. He had that revelation. So study his books. John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, study them all, because he had that revelation. Galatians 5, underneath this, Galatians 5, verse 6, says, "For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love." And I'm going to say that in redneck language, okay? I'm going to make a redneck version of the Bible, but I'm going to say this in another way, so hopefully you'll get it, all right? And I want to preface this that I'm not coming against any denomination or any church or anything like that, because I've often told you, don't leave here saying I'm a harvester. You're a Christian. Yes. You're a Christian, because you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So in verse 6 there, here I'm going to throw some things in there. "For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being Pentecostal or Presbyterian. What is important is faith expressing itself in love." The main thing is love. I don't care where you go to church. Is love supreme in your life? Do you love your spouse? Do you love your kids? Can I see love working out in your life with other people? Because I've seen a lot of religious people that are full of hate. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. And basically what the Apostle Paul is saying there is, it don't matter where you go to church at. If you're circumcised or uncircumcised, it don't matter, you know, if you're Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, whatever. None of that matters. What matters is faith, is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ expressing itself in love towards other people. Amen. That's all that matters, and that's the fruit. That's the fruit. That's when you know their root, where their root's at, and that's the fruit. Okay, here's number two, how to develop your faith in the Father's love. Number two is you need to meditate on the scriptures concerning God's love. Find those scriptures on God's love and just begin to meditate on them. You can do this throughout the day. You don't have to stay at home and read the Bible all day long. You can find a passage, read about it, and then throughout the day, meditate on that passage of scripture that you read about the love of God. 1 John 4, verses 7 through 16 is a good one. Meditate on that. And what meditation does, that's a New Age thing that they stole, but it's the Word of God. Meditation is from God. Meditation develops the capacity of faith. And what's going on when you're doing that is when you're thinking about the Word of God, it's in your mind. And then, but the other thing that you got to start doing is speaking it too. Think about it, speak it, then it gets down into here. If you go through something during the day and you have a problem or an issue or whatever, you just got to say to yourself, yeah, but God loves me. Yeah, but God loves me. Yeah, God still loves me. Yeah, I messed up a while ago and I've repented of it. God still loves me. Okay, here's number three. How to develop faith in the Father's love. How to develop faith in the Father's love. Number three, act on the word concerning the love of God. And the best thing I can tell you to do is just go find somebody and love them. Love somebody that's unlovable. Don't look around. Somebody looked at, I saw somebody look over here. I'm going to say, he's like, you mean I got to love him? Yeah, that one. And you may mess up a lot of times. You can practice on that person. Practice. Practice makes perfect. And if you mess up, all you got to do is repent. And, you know, that's what marriage is if you're married. It's a whole lot of repenting. And a whole lot of learning how to love someone through everything, through the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yes, and lots of forgiveness, lots of forgiveness. And here's 1 John chapter 4 on this one, verses 11 through 12. It says, "Dear friends, since God loved us that much," we know how much he loved us, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us because God is love, and his love is brought to full expression in us. Amen. That's awesome. And here's the last one. And this is what we're going to go home with, this last one. How to develop faith in the Father's love. Number four, decide to live the love life. And here's what I mean by this. You got to make, right now, when we're all in here loving one another, and we have this love atmosphere going on right now, this is where you make the decision that I'm going to decide to walk this love life. I'm going to decide to live the love life. You need to make the pre-made decision that I'm going to love, because guess what? Something's going to happen where it's going to try to knock you off the love life and the love walk. And you've got to already have that pre-made decision. No matter what Jada does today, it's more reversed this way. No matter what Mark does today, I'm going to love him. And whatever, you know, whoever it is in your, no matter what they do, I'm going to love them. I'm not going to condone it, you know, or I'm going to speak the truth and whatever. I'm not going to let them run all over me, whatever you got to say. But I choose to love them anyway. Yes. I choose to love them anyway. Say this, I will. Walk in love. Okay. And so when you have those temptations to not walk in love, just say that to yourself. I will walk in love. When you have that temptation to tell somebody a piece of your mind, I will walk in love. And sometimes you still do. There's a way to speak the truth in love. There is a way to do that. Jesus did it all the time with religious people. And to walk in love, now listen to this, guys, to walk in love is to walk in the very highest spiritual realm that there is. That is the highest. That is the highest. To walk in love is to walk in the very highest spiritual realm there is. And everybody said amen. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I want to make sure before we all leave here today, because we have, I don't know everybody's spiritual condition that's here, and also those that are watching by Church's Aid, and also those listening by radio, I want to make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior before you leave here today. It's very simple how you do that. You don't have to join a church or join this church or any kind of membership role or anything like that. It's very simple. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple. But you got to confess it with your mouth and believe in your heart. And I want to lead you in a prayer of doing that. And this is the prayer of salvation. Even those that are here today that you know you're saved, you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have that love relationship with him, I want you to repeat this prayer with me as well. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. You died on the cross for me, and you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now give yourself a hand clap this morning. I want to welcome you to the family of God. That's how you become part of the family of God. That's the first time you've prayed that prayer. The very next step that you need to do is what Monty and Trent did today, and that's follow the Lord in water baptism, and we can do that next Sunday, or if you want to do it now, we can do it right now. We got the baptism, baptistry is filled up. But I want you to leave here today celebrating the Father's love and receiving the Father's love for you, and keep developing that faith in his love for you, because this world's going to lie to you. The enemy's going to lie to you that God doesn't love you, but God does. God loves you very much. And so you're going to do that by putting the word first place. You're going to meditate on the scripture concerning God's love. Read 1 John, those five chapters. Act on the word of God concerning the love of God. Go love someone in your family, friends, coworker, whatever. And then decide, make the pre-made decision every day that you get up that today I'm going to walk in love, because to walk in love is to walk in the very highest spiritual realm that there is. Amen. All right, I want everybody to stand up, and I want to speak a blessing over you today. And we always do this every Sunday when we dismiss, because I believe in the power of the spoken word, especially the word of God. And this is out of Numbers chapter 6, 24 through 26. God told Moses, I want you to speak this over the children of Israel. So I figured if it was good for them, it's good for us. Amen. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Tell somebody it's a father, happy Father's Day, and tell them God bless them and y'all have a great week. Love you guys. Have a great Father's Day weekend. Happy Father's Day.